All right, here we are, another episode of Inside Out. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves, Rockwell Software.
Hey, I'm Mark Hobbs. I'm with Rockwell Automation. I work on the software side of the business with visualization products.
Nice.
I'm John Beyer, also with the software division. I am in charge of software architecture.
I'm Kevin Gordon. I'm a software architect for our product, which we're going to be talking about. So involved in the high-level design of the product.
Excellent. So before we get into what your product is, what do you guys do?
We build automation control and information solutions for manufacturing customers.
So yeah, I mean, if you look at who our customers are, it's kind of the who's who of that makes anything. Automobiles, you know.
Beer.
Beer. That's
wow.
The important one, you know.
Sure.
Food, diapers, paper products, pharmaceuticals. Also, wastewater companies, you know, all over the place. They even use our equipment in amusement parks and ski resorts and that kind of stuff. So pretty much it's the equipment, it's hardware, software, services from our company that automates processes, automates machinery.
Excellent. So do you do robotics as well? Or is that
we interface with robotics, but we actually control generally the assembly lines. We offer human-machine interface products, which we're going to show you a little bit about what we're doing there.
Cool.
So that operators can control the machinery, can get insight to what's happening. And then we also have the FactoryTalk is our software brand for our production and performance suite. So basically it monitors production processes, keeps track of what was built, all of that stuff where they want to figure out all the raw materials that went into a manufacturing process. We keep track of that, show customers how well the equipment's performing, etc.
Excellent. And you're all PCs, right?
Right. Pretty much. Well, we like Macs too, but we're not. But we like PCs and Macs. So.
Cool. So let me ask you, you're on Inside Out, so clearly you guys use some of our platform technologies. What did you use to? What do you normally use to build this stuff? So what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so today we're going to talk a little bit about kind of a new product that we're building, and just to give you a little bit of history. You know, we have a long history using Microsoft Stack, using COM technologies, ATL,
Win32,
all right.
We've been there for a long time.
Okay.
Our company also does uses other technologies, you know, Java, et cetera, but a lot of Microsoft technologies. And the product that we're going to talk about today is kind of an extension to our base level products that we've been selling for years. And it, in particular, uses Microsoft Silverlight on the client side and a full ASP.NET stack on the server side to extend our visualization of the factory floor up to casual users, people who working up in the upper office, plant managers, plant supervisors, who want to get access to the factory floor but want it all through a browser. So we're really excited about Silverlight and the ability for it to be able to bring very rich interfaces into a thin client kind of environment.
Excellent. So what's this base that you're talking about? What's the composition of this base software?
Well, at the lowest level, we have an existing legacy system that's all built on Win32 and COM. Mm. And we needed to breathe some new life into it for this new product. So we had to build an ASP.NET layer on top of that. And then the Silverlight client in the browser talks to that layer, which then goes and talks to the legacy layer. And it's added a whole new product form for us, which is this product that we're going to be talking about today.
So now, how did you interface from Win32 to deal, you know, it basically generate XAML and whatnot for Silverlight?
Oh, well, one of the things that we're doing is we're reusing our customers' existing assets. In other words, they've already drawn the pictures of their factory that they want to animate. So what we're able to do is we're able to convert those and publish them as XAML.
Nice.
And then render them in Silverlight, and then go back down to the factory floor and get that live data and those alarms and all those different things that we'll be showing you.
Excellent.
And bring those screens alive.
Yeah. Cool. So what was the experience like building with a new technology like Silverlight? Well, it's 2.0 now, so it's not new.
Right. Well, I think it was One, it was fun. We've been on as part of the TAP program since the early days of Silverlight. In fact, we started back with Silverlight when it was still called WPFE and all that. We started very early doing prototypes with Silverlight because it solved a real problem for us, which is the rich graphics animation up in the browser. And we compared it against Flash and other technologies, but we kind of settled on Silverlight. And I'll let Kevin maybe talk a little bit more about some of those reasons. But once we decided on it, we jumped on the TAP program, and there's been some bumps along the road, but it's also been exciting. So we've been following every release that comes out. We actually did a beta for customers, for a set of customers with the Silverlight beta 2 bits, and we've been on every drop, and right now we're on the RTW bits and ready to go.
So it's been challenging keeping up with you guys, but we've been able to do it, and now we're right on Silverlight 2, the release
version.
And
we've been playing with Silverlight bits since day one. We were there right at the start. When the first bits were available, we started making something with it.
Excellent.
Yeah, so
very
it's
cool.
Been a lot of fun.
So, I mean, it's interesting when you go from an image to XAML. I just want to dig a little bit into that, because, I mean, that's a cool sort of... can you talk about your transformer?
Well, our existing... format for our existing product wasn't vector graphics, but it was still a rich graphics format. So the problem that we needed to solve was we needed to figure out a way to get that proprietary data format into a markup like XAML. And so that was one of our eureka moments, right? Yeah. And once we figured out how to do that, then we started thinking, okay, so let's put an AJAX sort of design pattern on that. Let's get our screens, and then let's embellish them and annotate them with data. Mm. And that pattern has worked out just really well for us.
Excellent.
And the ASP.NET technology on the server has been able to give us things like web services and XML data and things like that that we need to work with up in the client. It's been great.
And because you guys are generating XAML, you could actually go to a full smart client if you wanted to and be WPF, right?
Yeah,
it would
absolutely
be very easy to just take your existing assets that you've done for Silverlight, plop it in a full, real 3D enabled environment that really uses the horsepower of the system it's running on, which is WPF.
And we've actually prototyped some of that to make sure that it works.
Excellent.
That pattern works, because we've been talking with Microsoft about that, about how Silverlight and WPF should converge and unify at some point in the future. And it looks like since Silverlight 1.1, once Microsoft started getting on the 2.0 track with the format of the markup, it's much more in line with WPF. And so we take our screens and we build them for WPF as well for Silverlight. Now, the product is only Silverlight.
Sure.
But as a proof of concept, we ensure that the stuff works in WPF as well.
Well, I mean, and the great thing about being a web application is you could have people that are in different factories or different locations seeing what's going on, you know, very remotely.
Well, I think it brings up an interesting point. We, you know, when we started looking at WPF technology, it was full WPF. And as I said before, it was kind of in the early days when Microsoft started coming up with this idea of WPFE. And I'll let Mark talk a little bit about, you know, we went out and talked to our customers, a lot of them, and did a voice of the customer to try to understand what were their needs going forward. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, voice of customer meetings is when we go on site with the customer. Mm-hmm. We watch them use our products. We talk to them about specific needs that they have. And one of the things that we heard loud and clear from many customers is that they want a thin client, or some of them would refer to it as a web-based visualization solution. And some of the driving factors behind that was exactly to your point. One is that they were trying to minimize their or reduce their deployment costs. So with a thin client solution, they don't want to have to install a piece of software on the client. They don't want to have to maintain that software. They want a very easy way to add in a new client to an existing system or replace an existing client. The other driving factor is they want to have easy access to information, and they want to take that from the plant floor and distribute that throughout the entire enterprise. So they want people to be able to access information from within the plant, within their office, from home, when they're on the road. They want easy access to information, and they want that on a wide a variety of client-type devices. So they want to develop their application once, store it in one place, and then be able to display it everywhere.
Excellent.
So yeah, I mean, I think the big driver for us is, you know, a lot of these Atom-based computers coming out with, you know, various sizes, touch screens, certainly all the smartphones, mm-hmm. And the continued advance of smartphone technology plays very well into this, because now using the Silverlight technology, we can build the app once, as Mark said, and it'll render on any piece of glass and still look beautiful, right?
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, hey, you know, let's look at this.
Okay.
Let's take a look at this, see what you guys have done, okay. And talk about it.
So this is a demo of FactoryTalk Viewpoint, which is our product, and we did take some license with the XPoint name. We did that on purpose because it's a web-based product.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an idea, FactoryTalk View is our main HMI product that gives operators interface into their plants, and so FactoryTalk Viewpoint is kind of a central point for lots of people to get those same displays into browser.
Nice. Nothing more than a browser.
Right.
Great.
So what we're showing here is kind of a runtime screen. Now, what this screen went through the conversion process. It was originally built with our FactoryTalk View product. It went through the conversion process that Kevin talked about. And you can see we have buttons put on here, and they're interactive, et cetera. Typical people will put in navigation bars and so forth, and we're getting actually live data right from what would be a factory system. Let's go ahead, and I'll go ahead into a dashboard app, maybe. And one of the other things around this is all of their interactivity, all of the navigation they've built in, all of the data points that they've built in their original project are converted and we maintain now in the web interface.
Nice.
So here we're getting some efficiency data around the plant, and it's live, data from the previous shift, et cetera. Now, this is just a nice example project, but you can see all the different graphics that we had to pull through that were built by the original product and now are rendered almost exactly, sometimes a little bit nicer in Silverlight.
Sure.
One of the other things we get here is that, you know, because it's all vector graphics, the whole thing just scales just beautifully.
Nice.
And so when we go to a screen that's smaller or even larger,
mm-hmm.
we have beautiful scaling. The customer doesn't have to do anything. It just plain works.
Excellent. Yeah.
That gets to the design once and view it on any device.
And, awesome. And down the road, more futuristic, you can even imagine a film strip of these different screens that kind of go past.
Sure.
Sort of advanced layout kind of capabilities.
Cool animation is something you get with Silverlight.
Yeah. Well, good.
Absolutely.
Good example. Here's now this one's a little kind of a slow animation, but if it's an animation that was originally done in our product, but we're doing the similar animation in Silverlight. So it's showing a pallet being brought down, some packaging equipment going on, and again, you don't lose anything as you scale. The animation still works as you'd expect, and everything works seamlessly. Because of the vector graphics. So
sure.
We're really happy. I mean, customers get really excited when they see that because they can know that they can go to any device and it'll work. So that's kind of the runtime graphics. We've had to do a lot of work to make sure that every animation, we do rotational animation,
mm-hmm.
color fills, bolds animation, text animation, everything you can imagine in our base level product had to be duplicated to work properly in Silverlight with the animation architecture that's there.
Yeah, so and in fact, all of the animations are keyed off of changes in data. So you can imagine the data binding architecture and the animation architecture in Silverlight. We had to figure out how to use that in a real creative and high-performance way to make this stuff work.
Sure, so I mean, it's eventing,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
Then, of course, people need to understand that you wrote your code in C#, right?
That's right.
And Visual Studio, you had the whole full experience. You're not writing JavaScript to deal with this.
No, in fact, our earlier prototypes when this was like Silverlight 1.0
mm-hmm.
were done in JavaScript. And we were going, I wonder if this is going to be fast enough.
Yeah.
And then out came 1.1 last year around the time of Mix with the runtime CLR. And
mm-hmm.
boy, were we impressed. It was so fast.
Excellent.
And so performant.
Yeah. Well, and very stable. I mean, we've done some tests. We showed this at one of our user conferences over the summer. You know, early it was Silverlight Beta 2, I think, Silverlight 2 Beta 2. And we did a connection test with. Oh, we had 96 customers sitting talking to a single web server, and we unplugged the wire just to make sure everybody really saw, you know, that that data wasn't going anymore, replugged it, and everybody just reconnected seamlessly, and the whole experience.
These guys were really, they were hesitant. They didn't think it was going to work.
We were reluctant at first.
We were reluctant. They were reluctant. They didn't think it was going to work. Mm. And then we pulled the plug and plugged it back in, and the animation stopped and then started up again.
Mm. And it just works. It works very well.
Yeah. Excellent.
Customers want all this capability in the browser, but they want little to no compromise in terms of graphics capability,
connectivity,
stability, and overall user experience, which was a pretty big challenge to the development team. But
now, when you are fully an online application, you don't get some of the benefits of, you know, offline caching,
right?
Yeah, and so you have to have that connection, otherwise the. You know, in this case, it doesn't make sense to have an offline experience because you want real-time data anyway.
That's right. But that's where we, you know, we look at maybe being able to take the Silverlight code and move it to pure WPF for those instances and be able to do a smart client implementation with the same code base that we originally made in Silverlight. So starting with the subset is a good thing for us.
I mean, it
enables us to move outward very easily.
Cool. We've built a little bit of secret sauce in here to just make sure that we cache everything we possibly can, to make sure that the performance is there. We're
absolutely
doing some stuff.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
Do you want to show how the browser paradigm is completely maintained and functional?
Another thing that I went to this screen before, but another thing that we wanted to make sure of is, you know, customers, it's so interesting, a lot of these rich web applications, the basic browser controls don't work anymore. You know, forward and back buttons don't work and so forth. But we wanted to make sure that that's maintained, that forward back buttons work, history works, everything works as you'd expect it to in the browser. And that's important to customers so that they don't have to reinvent all those navigational elements into their project. They can just use the features built into whatever browser is comfortable for them. And have it work. And we've tested this. The other thing that Silverlight, I think, has done a great job with, the Silverlight team, is being cross-browser functional.
Sure.
It works well in Firefox, and we've tested it all. It works well on a Mac, on Safari, and we're looking forward to all that support they're going to put into smartphones, right? Mm-hmm. Windows Mobile,
iPhone
Symbian, Nokia phones. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to all of that functionality being able to move to lots of different client devices seamlessly. So
that's probably the biggest area that we haven't been able to investigate yet, is all of our customers are asking for this capability on mobile devices. So we're anxiously waiting for the Silverlight team to get us something that can run on Windows CE and Windows Mobile. And, that'll be a big next step.
Now, of course, the challenges there are they're running mobile browsers, right? Except possibly for the case of the iPhone, where they, you know, apparently are running full version of Safari, I believe. But the point is, it's definitely some rocket science that the Silverlight team had to do to get all this stuff seamless across browsers, because Firefox has a really weird model internally, and then, you know, of course, IE has a strange model.
Yep.
So they really did some rocket science to get this stuff to work.
Well, and they did it instead of us, which was
that's how it should be, though, because we're providing the platform. You guys are innovating on top of it. You shouldn't have to worry about the plumbing.
It's not our core, core area. Yeah.
Of course,
You might not have a bottling line showing up on your cell phone. There might be size-appropriate screens.
That's what I was going to ask next, right? I mean, if you have a small device, even though the vector graphics will scale down, it's still going to look, it could just be really weird. So are you going to have that sort of detection of mobile and then just give them the basics of what they need? Even you could do some cool animations, but definitely pared down.
Yeah, we're thinking along those lines. You know, obviously on an iPhone and other devices, you can zoom. And zooming, of course, works beautifully with vector graphics if they really want to do that. But I think a lot of customers don't want that. They want us to right-size their display that they have.
Yeah, device awareness. They want us to know who's accessing the information or requesting it and what type of device they have so that we can render appropriately on that.
So one other thing I wanted to show you about what else we did with Silverlight is we also using Silverlight to configure our application. So we have this web server, we install it on a Windows Server box, Windows XP box, even down in a CE box. We're also building this for our industrial panels that go on machine.
Nice.
And we've done all of the configuration for the application in Silverlight as well. So our customer configuring the app never pulls out a thick client tool. It's always connecting to our web server, even getting it configured. So
this is something that you might customarily see being done in a Windows Forms-based application, but we decided to do this with web delivery in Silverlight as well.
Excellent. Yeah.
So here's kind of the process our customer goes through. We tried to make it very simple. We wanted the configuration to be easy and straightforward, to be rich, and we wanted it to be very easy from a connection standpoint. So we were thinking, hey, thin client's perfect here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So here's our three steps, pretty easy steps to make our FactoryTalk View application, which is the original application, web-enabled. So here we selected our application from a network store and a particular name. We're going to go, and here we're using Silverlight-rich controls to be able to provide picking which displays are web-enabled. In this case, we're web-enabling them all, but customer can unchoose some of these should they want. And again, nice rich controls, nice interactivity. And then we go and publish our displays. And basically, this goes through the process of converting our original project.
Nice.
Analyzing it, see if anything's changed, convert it to the proper XAML, our proper controls that we've built, using our libraries. And we end up with, when the customer's all said and done, we give them a report on what published and a button that says, okay, you're now published, go get started with your new web server, and they are off and running and ready to go check out their runtime. So
excellent.
So that's
nice.
That's pretty much it. It's a pretty simple, straightforward process. Our customers that have used this, that we've previewed this for, us have commented how easy it is, how straightforward, and that's really what we've been trying to get forward with this with this product, is make it really easy to move to a web environment.
Absolutely. So let me ask. So this is the typical client-server model. Who owns protecting the data, right? So this, in other words, you guys aren't storing. You're not in the hosting business.
Right.
And so you go and basically build this for them in their on-premise.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own web servers and their own security model.
That's right.
And then you let them go. I just wanted to be clear that it's not like FactoryTalk in the cloud.
Well,
or is it?
We have some ideas around that.
Ah.
But for now, mm-hmm. Most manufacturing customers deliver solutions on-premise, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And because it's safer,
sure.
It's usually isolated network, it's close, especially HMIs end up being close to the factory floor, close mm-hmm. to the machinery that they're operating.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically either we deliver an HMI package, do the programming, one of our partners, our system integrator partners, does it. Mm-hmm. Machine OEMs build these and bring them in on a skid.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people use our software to do that.
But we have designed every line of code so that it could potentially one day run in the cloud or
nice.
Be out on the wide internet. In other words, we haven't taken any shortcuts because we assume that it's going to be on a customer intranet.
Sure.
This thing has been designed, like I say, every line of code mm-hmm. to be completely internet or in the cloud
cool.
based.
That's great, because, I mean, there could be some clients that would rather spend their time building out an infrastructure for the client.
Right.
In other words, and they just want data, right?
Let's right.
say that as easy as, you know, you guys send us down a bunch of XAML, or, you know, we're going to want to manipulate it a little bit or whatever, but we're mainly interested in data. I'll control what the front-end experience is. This classic web services.
It's perfect. And I think the other, you know, all these system integrators, I mean, Rockwell has a big partner network and partner channel
mm-hmm.
that we go to market with, and being able to offer them the extensibility of Silverlight and bring in their own visualizations and use our framework that we've built on top of Silverlight as far as data collection, et cetera, is something else that we are definitely looking forward to doing and our customers are looking forward to. So those channel folks love to add their own value.
Sure.
And to do it in Silverlight, C-sharp, modern tools is something that, gets them really excited as well.
Excellent. Well, I mean, you guys are an important partner to Microsoft. How's that experience been over the years?
Really good. We're a global ISV. We work
for people who are for the people in the audience. Global ISV. Explain.
We are a select one of a select number of of companies, global companies, that do business with Microsoft. We are in the manufacturing vertical as well as many of our other mm-hmm. competitors in that vertical, but we have a relationship with Microsoft at the business level and technical level. We get people assigned to us that work with us and help us develop, move forward our business based on Microsoft technologies. Mm-hmm. And that's been very good for us. It helps us move forward. It's a lot of, it's constant, I won't say hand-holding, but it's mm-hmm. it's constant feedback and sure. constant, looking at the business values that we bring together.
Especially with Silverlight. Since the Silverlight TAP program, Technology Advanced Program, mm-hmm. Started up, we've been invited to a number of seminars and workshops on campus to help get our early issues figured out. And sometimes that's just to help us figure out how to use Silverlight, mm-hmm. but also it's a feedback line back to Microsoft so they understand which parts of Silverlight mm-hmm. are more important to these ISV customers,
right.
yeah, to the real world, and which parts maybe aren't so important, mm-hmm. and which areas are more stable and which areas are less stable. So particularly with Microsoft, that relationship has been really good over the past 2 years.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, hey, this is great stuff, you guys. Thanks for coming on to Inside Out.
Thank you.
And, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing how this evolves over the future, in the future anyway. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again.